suffering loss but not hopeless. I am David, crying mercy, Lord, on me. I am Elijah in a cave, dreading the light of day. I am Daniel, humbly bowed, faithfully. I am Paul in a prison, lifting praise to heaven. I am John, cast out but not down. I am Moses, seeking shelter in the cleft of the rock. Here I am, Lord, hide me again.
Here, and then I'll let you be seated, verse 32, and then we'll turn to Psalms division 48, okay? All right, beginning in Daniel chapter 11 and verse 32. Now notice, and such as do wickedly against the covenant shall, notice now, shall be corrupt by flatteries. Such as do wickedly against God's covenant, God's word, shall be corrupt by flatteries. But the people that do know their God. But the people that do know their God. Now, I want to stay there a minute before you're seated. And we'll read others while you're seated. But the people that do know their God. Say that word know with me. Would you know? N-O-W. Know. Not know as negative, but know as acquainted with. As belonging to. They that do know their God shall be strong and do exploits. Notice that. Now Daniel, writing in the Old Testament, in this 11th chapter, was talking about the Antichrist and the coming of this hour in which we're living. He was talking of this deceiver that would just literally take over this world. But he said to us who are believers, they that do know their God shall be strong and do exploits. Now I want to tell you, we live in a day that if you don't really know God, you have little chance, in fact, no chance of surviving the spiritual attitude that is out there. If you don't know God, you are in deep, deep trouble. I'm telling you, never has there been a day when there is so much deception, so much darkness, so much confusion. The church world is in a mess. The church world is in a mess. The Billy Graham paper is saying it as good as I say it. The church world is in a mess. And there is a desperate need for men and women that know God. That know God. I want to preach this morning on our Heavenly Father seated on His throne. Our Heavenly Father seated on His throne. Father, Your servant is in deep need of Your anointing this morning. I dare not try to preach this sermon without Your Holy Ghost unction, my Father. I am desperate for wisdom far beyond this mind of mine and far beyond the understanding of Joseph Chambers. I've got to have a heavenly touch. In Jesus' name, I pray, and amen. Now, you may be seated. Keep your Bible opened and turn to Psalms division 48. Psalms division 48. Psalms division 48. Wonderful psalm. A breathtaking psalm. A psalm that will change your life. Now, listen as I read. Great is the Lord. Oh boy, I could preach right there and wouldn't need to go further, would I? Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised in the city of our God, in the mountain of His holiness. Beautiful for situation. The joy of the whole earth is Mount Zion on the sides of the north, the city of the great King. Now, I want to read that verse again, but I want to make sure you are listening carefully. We're not talking about Jerusalem in the land of Israel. We're talking about Jerusalem in the north, the great hemisphere, far, far away, as it would seem to us in our day. And we're talking about the city where God has His throne. Amen. We're talking about the city where God Himself is seated. And where Jesus is now seated on His right hand. And I'll read verse 2 again after hearing that. Beautiful for situation. The joy of the whole earth is Mount Zion on the sides of the north, the city of the great King. God is known in her palaces for a refuge. Now let's read on. For lo, the kings were assembled. They passed by together. They saw it. And so they marveled. They were troubled and hasted away. Fear took hold upon them there. And pain as of a woman in travail. Thou breakest the ships of Tarshish with an east wind. As we have heard, so have we seen in the city of the Lord of hosts, in the city of our God. God will establish it forever. God will establish it forever. Selah. We have thought of the loveliness of God, O God, in the midst of thy temple. According to thy name, O God, so is thy praise unto the ends of the earth. The right hand, thy right hand, is full of righteousness. Let Mount Zion rejoice. Let the daughters of Judah be glad because of thy judgments. Walk about Zion. And walk about Zion and go round about her till the towers thereof. Till the towers thereof. Mark ye well her bulwarks. Consider her palaces, that you may tell it to the generations following. Now God's talking about his glory. He's talking about the majesty of his throne, the majesty of the heavenly city of Jerusalem, the city of God. And he wants us to tell it to our generations that follow. He wants everybody to know about God, about himself, about his glory. His last verse here, for this God is our God forever and ever. For this God is our God forever and ever. He will be our guide even unto death. Now that chapter of Psalms is breathtaking to me. And you need to read it when you get home. It would be good to read it every day for a week. And just let it kind of soak in until you begin to get the beauties of it. For it's a picture of our great God. It's a picture of his dwelling place in the heavenly city. In the great northern hemisphere, far removed as we would understand the scientists trying to tell us today, but it's God's city, it's God's Jerusalem, and it still directs the total course of this universe. It directs the total course of this universe. Now I want to try to quickly tell you seven things about the throne of God in the city on the northern hemisphere. I want to try to tell you in seven different illustrations about this place that we call heavenly Jerusalem, where our God sits on his throne in majesty and glory and power. Do you hear me this morning? If I can get you to know God in his majesty, you will never be the same again. It will change your spiritual life and make you a new kind of believer. I'm telling you, it will change your life. It is wonderful. Seven truths about our great God that will help you serve him all the days of your life. Number one. Now, this is about the throne of God. This is about the God, the Father, the Heavenly Father that sits on that throne. This is a biblical account of who God is and what he ought to represent to us. Number one, the throne of God, the city of God, is where God in sovereignty and absolute authority rules his universe. Oh, you say, look at ISIS. Look at the murder that's going on from the people of this religious fanaticism. Look at what's happening to the abortion of children. 54 million in America since the Supreme Court set them free to do it without any judgment. 54 million babies in America have been killed in the womb. Partial birth means partly out of the womb. I'm sorry. What a sad picture. The world is in a mess. The world is going to hell at net break speed. It's like the world is on the way to hell at such speed that anything you say don't even slow them down any longer. You can preach, you can say anything you want to most sinners, and they may be religious for a moment, but when you walk away, it's the same old thing. in their lives. It is one of those dark kind of days. The Bible makes it plain that this hour, right here at the coming of the Lord, would be the greatest hour of pain and darkness that humankind has ever known, and we're there. But in the midst of that, in the midst of all the difficulty, there's a God sitting on his throne. There's a God who reigns in absolute authority. There's a God who's absolutely sovereign. I'm going to tell you something. You can believe this, or you can let the newspaper confuse you. You can let television confuse you, and you can let the darkness of the world confuse you. But I'm telling you, in spite of every bit of it, in spite of every bit of the darkness, in spite of all the murder, in spite of all the carnage, in spite of all the dark things, there is a God sitting on his throne, and he is still God. And he is still sovereign. And he still rules with absolute authority. There is not one doubt about it. He's a God of absolute authority. He rules from the place on the sides of the north. Hallelujah. And his palaces are known as a place of refuge. He is a God that cares about you. And if you know him, you can overcome anything that comes your route. You can stand tall and be faithful in any hour. I'm here to tell you that if God is your God, you're going to be okay. Amen. Hallelujah. Sovereign God, ruling in absolute authority. Oh, Brother Chambers, how can you say that with everything that's going on? Because I believe the Bible, and I've read history, and I've read all through the church ages, and I've read about some dark times, but I've never seen God fail. I've never seen God when he could be stopped. I've never seen God when he could be put out of commission. Whatever his will is, will occur. I'm here to tell you, he is sovereign. He is sovereign. That's the first truth you got to get in your heart and in your head. In spite of everything, God is absolutely sovereign, and he rules absolutely in authority. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. Isn't it wonderful to know we got a God like that? Oh, it's great. It's great. We've got a God that's God. I'm here to tell you, he is God. Let me read again. Beautiful for situation. The joy of the whole earth is Mount Zion on the sides of the north, the city of the great king. Now, let me take a moment here. It may seem like a little sidestep to some of you, but I hope it's not. You see, when you understand that God's throne is in the absolute north, it is right up there on the sides of the mountain, the sides of some great place. And God sits on his throne, and this universe is ruled by him. I did some study recently. I tried to understand this earth and how it rotates and turns and how it moves through the stratosphere at great speed, going all through. I mean, it makes some great moves in a year's time. The reason we have tides and seasons and summer and winter, fall, spring, the reason we have all kinds of different seasons in our world is because our world is moving in God's great stratosphere. It is moving in a great manner and a great way, but there's one thing about it. As it moves and turns on its axis, it always changes from whatever point it's at. If it's over here and the north's there, then the earth changes and points its north there. If it's over here and the earth is there, the earth will change and point north. And whatever place in the hemisphere that God's earth is, it doesn't matter. It always points north, because north is its lifeline. Because north is the place where it is directed from. Because the north is where God sits on his throne. And you can say anything you want to say, and you can study science to the end of all of its magnificence, and you'll never find where it ever disagrees with the God of this Bible. It always proves the Bible every time, in every situation. And this morning, I'm here to tell you, he rules this universe because he is absolute in authority, and he's sovereign over it all. How many can accept that God is sovereign over this crazy world? Can you accept that? If you can accept that, you can make it, friend. I'm here to tell you, you ever have days when it seems like everything's gone to despair? Oh yes, we all do. We all do. I had the devil come against me this week in a manner that I don't think I remember in a long time. And I mean, he came against me with one incredible attack. And I trembled. I trembled. I couldn't get the junk off my mind. I couldn't get it straight. And finally, I remember the point. I said, God, you've allowed me to come into this situation. And you've allowed this despair feeling to come at me. Now, God, I want to tell you that Joseph Chambers is not capable of handling this. And so, God, you've got to take over. And I'll never forget it. God took over so quick and so beautifully and so mightily. He was waiting for me to come to the end of myself. He was waiting for me to say, I can't handle it. I don't know what to do with it. I don't know the answer, but God, you do. And so I'm turning the whole mess over to you, God. It is your righteousness that helps me survive and make it. And God showed up so quick, it makes your head spin. Hallelujah. Just come to the end of yourself. Just admit you don't have it. How many will admit you don't have it? Raise your hand up. Admit you can't handle all this mess. Admit it's such a situation, it's amazing to you. Now, turn it over to God. Don't just get despairing and say, I can't handle it. You get despairing enough until you say, there is somebody who can handle it. Hallelujah. I'll give him a hand, will you? Come on, give God a hand. Give the great God Jehovah we serve a hand. He is sovereign over every bit of it. Wow, I want to scream that so loud. Hallelujah. I feel it down to my toes. Hallelujah. What a God we serve. Now, I want you to listen. And this is kind of part of that first one, but it needs to be understood differently. God's sovereign. Got that? God is a God of utter and total authority. Have you got that? Everything of this universe is ruled by him. That means that God absolutely is watching over every believer, every person, every individual that loves him, that knows him. God is watching over you to protect you and to care for you. Cast your cares upon him. One writer said, for he careth for you. The Bible says, if you delight in the Lord, he will give you the desires of your heart. The Bible makes it plain, trust in the Lord. Lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. Hallelujah. Do you have all those scriptures in your heart? You need them in your heart. Because I want to tell you, you are dependent on someone who cares about you. And he will never forget you. He will never turn away from you. He'll never go to sleep and leave you in the wake of the night. He's there. He loves you. This is a God who is concerned about you. Amen. This is a God who has you on his heart. This is a God who watches over your cares to meet those needs. He knows what you have need of even before you ask him. That's a scripture. Did you know that? Hallelujah. I love it. I love it when God watches over me even before I know to ask him. And sometimes I ask him something and he says I feel like he says to me, why did you wait so long? Why did you wait so long? Hallelujah. Do you trust him this morning? Do you actually believe God has got you in his hand? Raise your hand if you do. You actually believe God has got his hand upon you and that God's taking care of you and that God's watching over you? Well, why do you get so gloomy then? And why do you get so sad? And why are you always griping and complaining? He's watching over you. Wow, I feel like preaching that to the end of my capacity. Hallelujah. Oh, that's the second thing about God you don't ever forget. One, he's sovereign. One, he's absolutely, absolutely of authority. There is nothing. All God's got to do to speak, and any part of this universe will obey him instantly. If God says that the clouds rain on Charlotte, it's going to rain on Charlotte. If God says leave them alone, let them suffer for their sins, he'll leave us alone. I'm just here to tell you, everything about this universe is under the sovereign care of Almighty God. And he's watching over you. Now, let me tell you something that really got a hold of me. Did you know that you can often tell the good of a man, the great of a woman, by her enemies or his enemies? Did you know that? Have you ever heard that saying? Watch a man's enemies and you'll understand him. Watch a man's enemies and you'll know how to feel about him. Because you can tell, in most cases, what a person is by their enemies. Their enemies will convey to you what they are. Well, I want to tell you about God's number one enemy. And we forget this sometimes, but God's number one enemy is the devil. And if you think the devil don't exist, then you got your head in the sand. You hadn't read the daily newspaper. You haven't watched any news on television recently. You haven't followed ISIS. You haven't followed the bad things in our world. God has got an enemy. And the enemy, I want you to hear me now. The enemy has no power like God has. But he does have great power. Do you understand? He does have great power. Let's go to Isaiah chapter 14. I want to read you. This really said something to me when I read it yesterday. It got a hold of me. Listen to me now. Listen. This is the devil. For thou hast said in thine heart, this is God talking about Satan, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. Now I got to take a minute there for that, in the sides of the north. Do you remember what we just read a while ago in the book of Psalms, where it says, be beautiful for situation, the joy of the whole earth is Mount Zion on the sides of the north. So here we have a picture of the devil that proves where God's throne is. Because the devil says when he wants to exalt himself above God, I want to be up there on the sides of the north. I don't like to look up there and see God. I want to take his place. You've got to understand, this is one of the things that we deal with every day of our life. We deal with a devil who's made up his mind to take over God's business. We're dealing with a devil that has set himself like a flint, that he will pull God down and he will take over God's throne. And all you got to do is look at this world and see the people who have no time for God, and they are a picture of what the devil has done in their lives. Amen. Just look at them. Watch everything about the wicked world, and you can see that the devil says, he said it right here. He says, I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit upon the sides of the north of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the height of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Wow. That overwhelmed me when I realized that the devil had his sights on the heavenly Jerusalem. The devil intended to take over the throne of God on the sides of the north. The devil intended to move up there and say, now God, you move over. I've come to take over. Oh, you can see it every day of your life in this world of ours. Oh, you see it with people everywhere you look. The devil has full reins in their life. They're going to hell at neck break speed. They don't realize they're being led to hell by the devil and his evil ingenuity. And he is a creature of great design and great ability, great warfare. He knows what he's doing, but he's a liar and he's the father of lies. Everything he does is an excuse. Everything he does is an imitation. Everything he says has a little bit of the truth and a whole lot of error. You don't listen to preachers because of what they say. You listen to preachers because of what they don't say. Did you get that? You listen to preachers because of what they... Now, I'm not talking about the good ones now. I'm talking about the evil preachers. You listen to what they don't say, and you know something is wrong. Well, the devil is intended to take over the throne of God. It makes me love my Father. It makes me worship him in all of his glory. It makes me can't wait till I see him in the place of his majesty and the place of his rulership. Hallelujah. I can't wait to go to heaven. I don't know about you. I'm just looking forward to seeing God on the sides of the north. I'm looking forward to seeing the splendor of that great palace where he reigns in sovereignty and authority. I'm looking forward to hearing the angels as the millions of them are singing, holy, holy, holy Lord God Almighty, the whole earth is full of thy glory. Oh, what a day is going to be. What a blessed moment. Well, the devil hears that and he can't stand it. He gets angry. He gets determined. He's on a rampage this very morning. Oh, he's been marching through Charlotte all weekend with the gay and lesbian crowd. They said there'd be 100,000 of them. I don't know how many they were, but they're being led by the devil. Oh, it's just a sorry and sad way to watch men destroy their lives. It's the devil's business. He's got to imitate God. He's got to imitate God. That's his determination, is to imitate God. But he's a failure. And he will fail ultimately. Now, number four, I want you to remember this. God is the super mind of the universe. God, now hear me. God is the main line center of all true thought and true expression and true action. God is like a master computer. He is the mind center of the entire cosmos. He is the mind center of the entire cosmos. Now let me tell you. Listen. The Antichrist is planning to force the world to take a mark. They tell me there's a computer in Brussels. I don't know whether this is true or not. It doesn't matter. It's somewhere. There's a computer that's going to be the master computer of all the computers in the world. Now, if you listen to the news much, they're always worried about somebody detonated a bomb up in the heavens that would somehow destroy the grid, the electric grid of America. There seems to be a lot of fear of that. I can understand them having a fear of that, because we are closely moving into a world where computers are absolutely the control of almost every human activity, and soon they will be in control of every human activity. Now you need to understand, that's the devil's effort to supersede the great God who's already the mind center of the universe. Am I making sense? Are you understanding what I'm saying? It's kind of over my head. And so if it's over your head, you understand it's also over my head. But I got enough sense to read this Bible, and I know that there is a great God who is the super mind of this universe. And he's in charge of everything. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Notice that word, fullness. There's nothing about this universe that my Father is not in command of. And the devil is determined, and his old effort of this great growth computers. And are you against computers? No. I just consider them the devil's highway. And what I'm doing is I'm walking down the devil's highway until Jesus comes, and then he can have it. But until Jesus comes, I'm going to preach the gospel on it. I'm going to tell the story of Jesus on it. I'm going to use it to the hilt and to the fullness, proclaiming the good news of Jesus Christ. I'm here to tell you, and the Father, the Lord God, the one who sits on the throne in the sides of the north, he's the super mind of the universe, and he's got everything under control. Washington's not in control. The Kremlin is not in control. Tehran, Iran is not in control. There's no power on this universe that can operate except by his divine will and purpose and mind. He's in control. Hallelujah. And he will have the last words. Do you hear me? He'll have the last words. Hallelujah. Some of you could sit through a storm and you wouldn't say amen. Hallelujah. Somebody say amen. Oh, what a day that's going to be. Hallelujah. The super mind of the universe. That's my God. Does that give you a great feeling of relief? You've been worrying yourself sick, wondering what's going to happen next. Whatever he allows. But when he gets to allowing it, he's going to bring it to a conclusion. When he closes the door, it'll be closed. Does anybody know that? Are you willing to live by that? All right, I want you to understand. I got to take you to a scripture that really show you that, because this is pretty important. I'm trying my best to hurry here. I never can preach as quickly as I want to. In the book of Corinthians, I love these words in Corinthians. I really do. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 7. Listen to this. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom, which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of the world knew. But had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Listen to that verse. Listen to that verse 8. I'm sorry. Listen to it. The Holy Ghost said, if the Jewish nation had have understood the wisdom of God, they would never have crucified the Lord Jesus Christ. But because they were controlled by the wisdom of men and their own, pride, haughtiness, they made a terrible mistake. But as it is written, eyes have not seen, nor ears heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love him. You can read the best books that men can produce. You can read all the pictures of paradise. You can read all the pictures and all the books and all the stories about glorious things and glorious places and glorious wisdoms of men. But I want to tell you something. Real wisdom belongs to the mind of God. He is the ultimate mind. He is the ultimate message. He is everything. Do you hear me? He is everything. Now, notice the four things I've shared with you. Number one, he is the God of authority. Absolute authority. Sovereign. Number two, he cares about you and he can keep up with the minute details of your life. He can so keep up with the details of your life that he knows how many strands of hair there is on your head. He knows he keeps a count of the hairs on your head. Don't take much for Brother Buck. It takes a little more for Brother Marlon. I don't take none for Marcus at all, almost, you know. But for most of us, it's a pretty good thing that he keeps up with the count of the hairs on our head. That's number two. That's the kind of God we know. That's the kind of God we got. We got a God who knows. Did you know every baby that's been aborted, God has them. And they will be in heaven. Hallelujah. They had their own fingerprints and they had their own DNA. I mean, they'll be there. I can imagine some mother who aborted her baby and then repented and God forgave her and saved her. And then she comes to this moment in heaven and she sees this little girl coming down the street and she hollers, "Mama. Mama, that's my mother." Oh, well, you say it'd be terrible to have to face it. No, when we're all redeemed with new bodies, it won't be terrible at all. It'll be wonderful to face one another. We shall know even as also we are known. You're not going to be forgotten who you are when you get to heaven. I wouldn't be no heaven. I'm going to be able to go over to Sister Chambers' mansion and say, "Honey, would you please come clean my house for me?" Hallelujah. Hallelujah. How many believe she'll do it? I'm watching to see what Sister Beatty says. How many believe she'll do it? I know what she'll do. She's my sweetheart. Oh, I'm just a little sidebar there, okay? Hallelujah. Oh, but the wisdom of that place. Hallelujah. And the devil, he sees it, and he wants to imitate it. He wants to imitate it so bad. But let me show you something that's absolutely beautiful. How many of you know where Jesus is this morning? Does anybody know where Jesus is? Let me see your hand if you know where Jesus is. I can tell you where he is. Let me read it to you. Listen to me. This is in Psalms, division 2 and verse 7. I will declare the decree. The Lord has said unto me, "Thou art my son. This day have I begotten thee. Ask of me, and I will give thee, I will give thee the heathen for thine inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. For thou shalt break them with a rod of iron, thou shalt dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel." Verse 6 says, "Yet have I set my king upon my holy hill of Zion." So the Father is in that heavenly city. on the sides of the north. And as soon as Jesus had been crucified and resurrected and ascended, the Father set him down on his right hand on the sides of the king in the northern sphere of this universe. Hallelujah. And it was already planned, but David promised it 2,000 years before it happened. So heaven and the throne of God becomes more precious when I know that my Redeemer is sitting right beside him. Hallelujah. And remember when old Stephen was being stoned to death and he was in great pain and he was praying for his persecutors. And the Bible said his last words was he looked up and saw the Son of God sitting on the right hand of the throne of God. Now, I'm sorry. He saw the Son of God standing at the right hand of the throne of God. Sorry about that, Brother Marlon. He's about to come out of his seat there. See, and I know when I was going the wrong direction. I want to tell you something. In that great city, in the heavenly north part of this hemisphere, there sits God the Father on his throne with a mind that rules the universe. And right beside him is that blessed Savior who died on the cross for our sins, whose blood is on that altar in the throne room of heaven. And all the Son God has got to do is say to the Father, Father, that's one of my children down there, and I shed my blood for them. Look, Father, you see that blood over there on the altar? I gave that for Joseph Chambers. I gave that, hallelujah, for Patricia. I gave that for everybody. Hallelujah. He's sitting in that glorious city on the northern hemisphere, and he rules and calls on the Father for us. Somebody stand up and praise him, would you? Hallelujah. What a God we serve. What a God we serve. What a God we serve. He is mighty. He is mighty. I'm telling you, he is mighty. He loves you. He cares about you. Oh. Brother Jack, is this okay? Hallelujah. I want to tell you something, church. We serve a God that is so superior. Oh, I don't have time to go much further. I preach my time away, but I'll tell you something. I wish I had time to talk about the angels. You see, the throne of heaven. Just remain, everybody stand with me, will you? You don't have to sit back down. Good to have you. Hallelujah. You know, it's beautiful to think about heaven. And to think about the Father, my Father, your Father. How many know he's your Father? You've been born again. You've been washed in the blood. You've been saved by the grace of God. Hallelujah. He's your Father. Hallelujah. And the angels are gathered in multiplied millions, cherubims and seraphims, and they're praising him. And you know what they say? Glory! 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 Why'd you miss the last one? Hallelujah. I'm kidding with you, Brother George. How about saying it with me? Glory! Come on, glory! Come on, glory! Now again, let's do it. Glory! To the Father, glory to the Son, and glory to the Holy Ghost. All three in one. Hallelujah. Let's do that again. Glory to the Father, glory to the Son, and glory to the Holy Ghost. All three in one. Hallelujah. I want to dance a little bit. Hallelujah. He's my God. I belong to him. I serve him. He is forever my God. He's forever my Father. His throne is a place of majesty and glory and honor. There is nothing to compare with it. Woo, hallelujah. 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 What a God we serve. What a God we serve. Have you got those six truths about him? How many have got them? Raise your hand if you got them. Have you got them so you can remember them? I'll put them in the bulletin next Sunday morning. Make sure I tell Wendy that, Sister Judy. Don't let me forget that. Put them in the bulletin next Sunday. I want you to get these six things about our God planted in your head. I got one more to go now. Hold it. But I want you to get these seven things about our God planted in your head that you'll never forget them. Now open your Bible. I'm going to number seven. Oh, wow. Wow. Did you know that you and I, while in this life, can actually go to the throne room and have fellowship with God?
That's
You already know that, don't you, Brother Marty? How many of you knew that? You know why you don't know that? Because you've never prayed through. Let me read to you in the book of Ephesians, chapter 2 and verse 6. This is his children. He's talking to saints. And hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. I've been there. I sent you my Holy Spirit because I knew the weakness of flesh. I knew there'd be times when you would be unable to pray as you ought to pray. I knew there'd be infirmities that would wash you away and you would become desperate. So I sent you my Holy Spirit. I sent you that third member of my triune God, Godhead. I sent him to you to take you by prayer and in the Spirit and bring you into the throne room where you can talk to me and have fellowship with me and then face a world that's hostile and doesn't care about you. Hallelujah. Would you raise your hand and say, thank you, Holy Ghost. Thank you, Holy Ghost. See, the power of prayer is to take you out of your prayer room in the power of the Holy Ghost. And bring you right into the chamber of God's presence. Great God, what we serve. Oh, do you realize we serve a God like this? That made such a plan. That's what the Holy Ghost is all about. That's what unknown tongues is. The Bible talks about unknown tongues and says nobody can understand you when you talk in unknown tongues. Why can nobody understand you? Because that's the language of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. And when you talk that language, the devil cannot interrupt. The devil cannot stand against you. The devil cannot stop you. And he don't know what you said. I like to pray when the devil don't know what I said. Hallelujah. Anybody here that loves him this morning? Anybody here that knows this is our God? That's the seventh thing about my Heavenly Father's throne, is he invites me to come and sit down with him and have fellowship. He invites me to pray until I pray through, until all the barriers around me are broken, until the Spirit bears me in his hands of spiritual grace and carries me right before the Father. And I'm here to tell you, there's nothing like my God and your God. I want everybody standing, and I want you to lift your hand, and I want you to tell him how much you love him. I want you to tell him how precious he is to you. I want you to let him know that you belong to him, and he belongs to you. And these seven things about my Heavenly Father, they are breathtaking. They are breathtaking. I cannot tell you how great they are. Now wave your hand a little bit up there. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I presume, son, you're saved, right? Hallelujah. Are you? Are you saved, a little wife? Hallelujah. Yes. What? If you're not, I'm telling you, he's ready to save anybody in this building who's not saved. I'm telling you, there's no games to play in this faith. Am I right, my sister Patricia? Am I right? You believe what I preached this morning? Hallelujah. What a God we serve. What a God we serve. Are you saved, young man? Yes. Oh, yes. Good. Hallelujah. There's nothing like being washed in the blood. Let's everybody meet together at the altar. Visitors and church people alike. Come and let's stand before the Lord. Play that piano for me, if you don't mind, Sister Patricia. Can you pray and play at the same time? I imagine you've learned how to do that. Hallelujah. Come here and stand before the great God. That's right, everybody. Nobody excluded unless you're so old you can't come.
God on the mountain is still God in the valley. When things go wrong, you know that he'll make them right. And the God of the good times is still God in the bad times. God of the day is still God in the night. Talk of faith when you're up on the mountain, but talk comes so easy when life's at its best. But it's down in the valley of those trials and temptations, well, that's when faith is really put to the test. For the God on the mountain